following is a recording of a sermon given at All Saints Lutheran Church in Ottawa, Canada. For additional messages and more information, visit allsaintslutheran.ca.
I can't always remember where I've told what story. So that's the danger of not writing things down, right? But anyways, I kind of like this story. It's kind of funny, and I want to tell it anyway, because it has a point. And it's about a husband and wife who went to the fair every year, and they had helicopter rides there at the fair. And the wife desperately wanted to go on a ride. But the husband said, no, the ride costs 50 bucks. And he would say, 50 bucks is 50 bucks. So the next year, the wife and husband would go to the fair. Again, she'd ask if she could have a helicopter ride. He says, no. He says, 50 bucks is 50 bucks. So this went on year after year. It seemed to be the same pilot that was always there too. So one year, they went together and they were discussing this close enough that the pilot could hear. Again, he heard the husband say, 50 bucks is 50 bucks. So the pilot said, listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a ride in the helicopter, and if you promise not to say one word, the ride will be free. But if you say even one word or make one peep, he said, you'll have to pay the 50 bucks. So they agreed. So they got in the helicopter, and the pilot did all manner of maneuvers, up and down and around and over, trying to get them to either be ill or to say something. All during that time, not a word from behind, nothing. So finally he landed and he looked behind him and he said, that's amazing. You guys didn't say anything. And then he noticed, he said, where's your husband? She said, oh, he fell out just a little while back when you made that turn. And he said, well, why didn't you say something? She said, well, I was thinking about it, but 50 bucks is 50 bucks. I think some of you heard that, but I love it. So she made a choice, right? She chose 50 bucks. Might have been a wise choice. I don't know what her husband was like. But you know, we make all kinds of choices in life every day. In fact, I looked that up on Google about how many choices we make in one day. And I'll bet you'd be shocked to find out how many they estimate we make. Minor, major, in between, sometimes choices that are just automatic. Do you know it was 35,000 choices of some sort every day? And some of those choices become what I call defining moments in your life. A defining moment would be something that truly reflects your character and your faith, or has the potential of changing your character or your faith. I know of a pastor who had just such a defining moment one time when he went to the hospital to visit someone who didn't attend church very regularly, but confessed Jesus as Lord. And he went to visit this chap, and this man was dying. And when he arrived there, his family was there in the room with him. And the fellow in the bed, the sick gentleman, asked if he could, if the family would leave for a few moments so he'd have some private time with the pastor. And when they left, tears began to run down his eyes, and he was obviously grieved. And the pastor took his hand and offered some comfort. And he said, are you afraid? Are you afraid of dying? And the man said, well, no. He said, dying is hard, but I'm not afraid of death. I believe in Jesus. So the man said, or the pastor said, are you afraid of losing your family, of not being with your family anymore? And he said, well, yes, but that's really not the issue. And the pastor said, well, then what is it that's bothering you so much? And the man turned away and looked at the window, and then he struggled to say four words that stuck with the pastor and haunted him for some time. He said, I wasted my life. I wasted my life. And he went on to talk about how all through his life, most of his choices and his decisions centered around himself and his own wants, and how he squandered his resources and squandered his gifts, and how he chose to follow his own way and not God's way. He did not follow the path that God had for him. He said, I wasted my life. You know, there's many times that I've stood in front of congregations on a Sunday morning and looked out over the sea of faces, and realizing it's a sobering thought to think that there might be one or two of these faces that will not be in the pew next Sunday. Sometimes these defining moments come to us completely unexpected. And what a sadness to come to the end of your life and to have to say those four words, "I wasted my life." Sometimes I let my imagination go and I think, what if when we die, okay, so what if God takes us into a room, there's only two chairs in the room, there's a TV there, and there's a DVD player. And God walks in and he has a DVD in his hand, your name is on it, and the title of that DVD, "What Might Have Been." And can you imagine sitting there with God and watching your whole life played out in full color? Everything's there, all the choices that you ever made, all the decisions that you ever had to come up with. And then you realize what might have been if you had followed God's way and not your way. You know, we've only one chance to get it right. One chance. That's it. We only have one chance to get it right. So what is God doing in your life? That's why it was so important to have the young people share this morning. How is God working in your life? And to what extent, remembering what Nelson read a few minutes ago, to what extent have you discovered that pearl of great price? And if you have found that pearl of great price, have you invested in it? So much so that it becomes the most and single most important something to you, that everything else pales in comparison to that one thing. And that pearl of great price, of course, is Jesus. What if you choose to follow? Or what if you choose not to follow? The choice is always ours. And you know, we may have made that choice in a larger way at some point in our life, either perhaps through our confirmation or maybe through a conversion experience that we had. But I'll tell you that every single day, there's many times that choice is made over and again, and it may be for Jesus, and it may not be. It may be to follow, and it may be to go our own way. Have we discovered that pearl of great price? And if we have we invested in it so that it becomes all and everything? How many times have you heard someone say, "But I had no choice"? I don't think there's very many choices we make that don't have another choice, an option. But very often I think that phrase is used as a way of excusing us from doing the wrong thing. And we have a choice. Very often we excuse ourselves because we've done the wrong thing. We know we've done the wrong thing. But nonetheless, that's the path we've chosen to follow. My dad tells a true story about a time when he was going to university, and there was an exam, and the professor got the exams back, and he noticed that two papers had exactly the same answers, pretty much. And one was from a female and the other from a male. And my dad, I guess, knew one of the, and he knew the girl who was brought into the office because of this. And after they looked at it, they knew who had copied the other. So they brought in the gentleman and they said, "You cheated on this exam." He said, "What do you mean I cheated? How can you prove that?" They said, "Well, your paper is exactly as this person's paper." He said, "Well, what if they copied me? That's a possibility. Maybe they did." They said, no, "We know you copied, because there's one question here where it says, 'I don't know' on her paper, and you put, 'I don't know either.'" And that's a true story. It's a true story. So this guy made a choice, right? He chose not to study the night before the exam. But that led to a second choice. And that second choice got him expelled from college, and worse yet, it made him a cheat and a liar. He made his choice. Did you know that the word "choose" appears about 59 times in the Bible? It appears in about 24 chapters and 15 books of the Bible. These are some of my favorite quotes about choosing. "Choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then the next one, This day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. So you see, there's only really two choices that can be made in practically every decision that we make, and that is we either choose death or we choose life. We either choose his way or we choose our way. Those are the main decisions that we have. And all those decisions that we make, they kind of shape our life. And those decisions either make us Jesus followers or Jesus deniers. And any time we choose to follow our way instead of God's way and seek out his will, our will instead of his will, we become a denier, not a follower. And those decisions that we make day after day, they matter because they become a mosaic of our character and of our faith. One day I was walking through the halls of the school at Foundation Christian School, and there's a few kids coming out of the classroom from grade 3, and I said, "Good morning, people." And this one little boy said, "We're not people." He said, "We're human beings." And I thought to myself, there is a distinction, you know. Because it's in the being that we discover who we are and demonstrate who we are, our character and our faith. It's in how we live. It's in what choices that we make that defines us and decides where our path is going to lead. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, says Jesus. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had, and he bought that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Have you found that pearl? And if you have you invested in it? Have you sold it all and given away everything to follow him? I'm asking myself that question as much as anyone. So I'm not trying to focus in on you specifically. I'm focusing in on myself as well. And it's a question that I think needs to be asked time after time. Either you decide for Jesus or you decide against him. Number of times I think back and to my great dismay and disappointment that I had opportunity to share the gospel with someone and failed to do it. I had a good experience the other day. I just on occasional, once, twice a week, I drive a courier for Life Labs. And so I go from place to place and pick up samples and deliver reports and so on. And I arrived at the one lab that we were at, and the nurses were there. And the one nurse was, you could see she was visibly upset. And it was about 10 to 4, I got there, and the lab closes at 4 o'clock, and she was on her way home, and she was planning a trip with her son down into the States. And I could tell that something was up, so I asked her, "What's wrong?" She said, "My son can't find his passport." I've been praying about it. I said, "Well, I'll pray too." And she says, "Okay." 30 seconds later, she gets a message. He found his passport. And I'm not attributing that to myself in any way. But she said, that was you. I said, no. I said, "It has nothing to do with me." I said, "It has everything to do with him." She says, "Yes." She turns to the other nurse and she says, "See what I mean? See, you need Jesus." I thought, wow. Out of that one little instance, a witness was made for Jesus. And then I said to her, I said, "Just make sure that your son knows what happened." And she said, "Oh, yeah." She says, "We'll be driving for 14 hours. I got lots of time to talk to him about this." You either decide for Jesus or you decide against him. In Matthew 12:30, Jesus says this, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." So you see, we have a choice, either the world or Jesus. It's really that simple. Some of you may know this gentleman. Francis Chan is his name. He has been on many tours. He was a pastor of a mega church. I'm not sure where it was in the States. Does a lot of teaching videos. Some years ago, we used Francis Chan in one of our sessions downstairs on Wednesday morning. An amazing communicator. Really powerful man of the gospel. And he was pastoring this huge church that was in a $6 million building program at the time. And they were sponsoring a school somewhere in the continent of Africa, and I'm not sure where, in a very poor area. And so he decided he wanted to go personally there to see what was happening at this school. That was a defining moment for him. And when he saw how the people lived, when he saw the poverty that these people were experiencing, and yet the joy that they had, changed him forever. And he comes home from that trip, and his wife could see that there was something that was, I won't say bothering him, but was solidly on his mind. And she asked him what it was. And he said, well, he said, I don't think we can live like this anymore. He said, I saw how those people live in Africa, and I see the joy in their faces. I don't think we can live like this anymore. And she says to him, well, what do you want us to do? Sell the house? And he said, yeah, maybe. She said, okay. They put it on sale for that day. They went and bought a trailer, and that's where they lived. Then he went to his church, and he talked to his congregation about this. And he said, I don't think we're really living the way we ought to be living. The money that we're spending on ourselves here, what about the people who are in Africa? What about people in other parts of the world? We're ignoring that poverty. We got to change. That's part of what God calls us to do. As I understand it, his church didn't buy it. So he resigned. He resigned his position, this huge church building, this huge congregation, and he went somewhere in California, and he helped people to start small house churches in different areas. Because you see, that was a defining moment for him. And he chose to follow Jesus in his footsteps the way he believed that he was being called to follow. If you were to come to Killaloe, which is a tiny little town that I live near, there's a pharmacy in Killaloe. And if you've ever been there, that's there on one of the streets, Mary Street, I think it is, in Killaloe. And if you had opportunity to go into that pharmacy and go into the back where the pharmacist is, you would meet a very interesting young man with a big smile on his face. And his name is Mohsen. Not Motion. People call him Motion. It's not Motion. It's Mohsen. Mohsen was Muslim. And he came to Christ about 4.5 years ago. And you know what happened to him? He wasn't even searching for Jesus. In fact, his father had died, and he was so affected by that, he was looking for a vision of his father, and he was praying. He said to God, to him, he'd say it was a generic God, he'd say. And he said, all of a sudden in his room, there was light, brilliant light. And he said, I kid you not, most people don't believe me, Jesus, and I asked, who are you? And the vision said, Jesus. And Mohsen's life was changed. Was absolutely changed. And now he's one of the most on fire Christians that I know. And if you go in there to get a prescription, you better be ready to stay a little while, because he's going to witness to you. And he's going to tell you about Jesus. Some of the people don't like that. Some of the people just want to kind of ignore it and get out of there as quickly as possible. But you go in there and you talk to him and you'll find how on fire he is for Jesus. He made the choice to follow. And he would say to you, he'd say, you know, this is not something that we can take lightly, because he said, the difference is, what is your eternity going to be like? He says, I'm compelled to share the gospel of Jesus because I care for these people. He held healing services in his pharmacy. He's got a cafe, so he opened that up and he'd have healing services in the cafe. I said, Mohsen, you're going to put yourself out of business. You're a pharmacist. He says, I don't care. He said, it's not about me and it's not about the pharmacy. He says, yeah, this business has been good to me. He said, I could give it up tomorrow. He said, what's most important is the people know Jesus. They found the pearl of great price. And they invested in it. May God give us the grace to do the same. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For additional messages and more information, please visit us on the web at allsaintslutheran.ca.